And still is, and I'm very proud to carry that title.
For those that don't know, you've been in this system a long time. Give us
long
an overview.
Time. I'm in my 48th year in education, and all combined during that 48 years, I've probably been in Baldwin County for 36, 37 of those 48. 3.5 years I went to Eufaula City. Several years I was in Mobile, and 7 years I was in Monroeville. So.
Very good. And part of that was coaching, thus the
absolutely.
The title coach.
1976, okay. Started teaching and coaching.
And you've now been our superintendent for how long?
Going on 10 years now.
And when does a renewal come up where either they opt to renew you, or how does that work?
Well, of course, they can renew as often and any time as the board wants to, but generally you go about a 3-year contract. My renewal is set for July 1 of 2026. The board can do anything from now and in between that date, whether it's to non-renew or to renew or extend it, however they want to do it.
Okay. All right. Very good. So when do the school boards, does your school board meet? And tell us about what they do versus what you do. How does the separation of powers, how does that work?
Correct. Well, that's a good way to describe it. I don't think a lot of people really realize that. But I'm a selected superintendent. I'm not elected.
Right.
We only have about 30, 35 in the state that are elected superintendents. That'll probably be dissolving soon. But I am, picked by the board through interviews. And a superintendent's role is to run the school system. That's not the board's role. The board's role is to create policy and to help create a vision for the system. And a lot of times people wonder, well, if they don't like what you're doing, what can they do? Well, I'm a contract individual. So at any point in time that the board feels like that I'm not carrying out their vision or running the system in a manner that they approve of, they can elect to show me the door. But
so when it comes to tough decisions like whether or not to mask students, that's a board decision that you carry out. It sounds like what you've just said.
It is. It basically, the board can't make any decisions on anything unless I bring them a recommendation. So we have work sessions like tonight, third Tuesday of the month, and we have board meetings the third Thursday of the month. So the work session is where we deal with the business of bringing issues to the board about construction and anything else that might be presented. Thursday night, they vote on what was presented at the work session. So, like the mask, it was my decision to go to the board, and at that time, with the information we had from feds and the state health organization, to mask. But I don't know if I would ever be held to it, but if the decision ever came around again, I would look at my board and say, I'm not going to mask. I mean, if an individual wants to wear a mask, let them wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an individual decision. But then the board would have to determine.
Okay. All right. What other types of things do you address at the work session? Is there still a big issue with library books, for instance, and the teaching of other sexes and genders?
Sure.
Tell
sure.
us about that.
Well, those on Tuesday night work session, the public is not allowed to speak because it's all about work agenda.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes that could be an hour or 2.5 hour, 3 hour meeting. Thursday night, the public can come and sign up to address the board. They get 3 minutes to address the
mm-hmm.
board about any issues that they feel like they have or want to voice to the board.
On or off the agenda.
On or off. Okay. It doesn't have to be an agenda
item. And that's very typical public meetings.
The library issue, I think we've jumped on that well as a school system. I think in a lot of areas we've been complimented of how we're handling that.
Tell us how are you handling
well,
that?
Well, very transparent. A lot of groups said, we want to know what's in your library. So we decided, well, let's solicit their help. And so we opened up our library. But it's on them to identify a book and to research that book, not just say, I don't like the title of this book, and then it's put on us to determine. they have to present their research. They've read the book. These are their concerns. It's presented to our review committee, and some books we move or take off. Some books are moved to a higher grade level. So we have opened up to them and saying, we want your help, and that's gone well. The big issue across the country is counseling. You know, well, what are we doing? What are we teaching our kids? What are the counselors saying to our children?
I heard
a bit about that, and you said last month that you've withdrawn from this national counseling group that was teaching these.
We have to go by the state mandate, the rules on governing counseling through the State Department of Education.
Okay.
And so that's what we adhere to. Now, we've gone through our counseling manual, and we have updated every aspect of that manual. And, you know, we're not into the CRT. We're not into the woke. We're not into any of those things that would continue to promote a different ideology for our counselors. So we want to protect our counselors as well as our students. We're not into gender identification. I mean, that is a personal issue. That's a parent student issue. So our counselors do not get involved in that. Now, here's the kicker. When people come and address the board and say this is going on, I have to look at the board a lot of times and say, if those people would have contacted me and let me know instead of deciding to come publicly and announce that we're doing something that we shouldn't be doing, we could have taken care of that. But a lot of people want their 3 minutes in the sun and want to discredit our school system. So if we're doing something that goes against our vision and philosophy and morals, I need to know about it, and we'll address it.
So that a case-by-case basis.
Absolutely.
You're speaking of maybe one individual instructor that may be doing something a parent doesn't like. Instead of come to you, they bring it to the board.
Correct. And I have to say, in defense of employees, a lot of times, sometimes they feel like they're well-meaning. You know, when they might be counseling a child as a teacher, a child comes to them and gives them some advice or guidance how to handle, you know, their life, or our counselor might give information. But we want to take them out of that business. We want to make sure that we give them the information that they can use and then talk with their parents about, well, I need help, Mom, Dad. As a school system, we're not going to advise them on where to go for a gender identification, how to handle the pronouns and things of that nature. We're not going to promote that.
And that's not being taught anywhere?
No, not to my knowledge, it's not. Now, I'm sure somebody listening to the radio station can say, well, I know where it's being taught. Well, if they
do, in one of your public schools.
Absolutely, then let us know.
Okay. We're speaking with Baldwin County School Superintendent Eddie Tyler here at WABF. It is 8:37. I believe I saw some more ribbon cutting. There's construction going on to accommodate the growth in the county. Tell us about that.
Yes, Lori, there is. That's a never-ending thing that we have to deal with. Right now, I mentioned to you earlier that we're starting our parent meetings with parents of their children that have been selected for the Baldwin Prep Academy. You know, this was a selection process, 10, 11, and 12th grade. That process is finished. So last night we started meetings. Last night it was health sciences, the parents, students who were selected to that area, and culinary. Parents came to hear what was going on and what they needed to know. Coastal Alabama was there because we have a partnership with Coastal Alabama on dual enrollment and their child in high school at the same time working toward a double A possibly. So that started last night, and that'll continue for the next week or so. We have Silver Hill Elementary going on right now. Loxley Elementary will be bidding soon. We're looking at our strategic planning meeting coming up in about a month. Where do we put new elementary schools? Do we build another middle school? And still out there on the horizon is a high school. We don't know where, but it's coming.
And that's you. I'm sure you have to track the growth areas and look at the numbers.
Yes, we do. We track that daily. We have a gentleman up in the central office in Bay Minette that works with John Wilson, our CSFO, who looks at our growth, communicates with planning commissions throughout cities, and determines where this population is. And I know sometimes areas of our county feels like, well, are you going to show us some love? But we just can't go in and build a school if we can't fill that school up. We have to address the high growth areas, and that's along the Eastern Shore from Foley all the way down through Spanish Fort. And now it's going to be exploding in Bay Minette because of the Novelis. We're seeing subdivisions coming in off 59 in the Bay Minette area. They're coming in off 181. I'm sure you've driven 181
and seen
toward Barnwell and seen all that's going on. 104 heading down towards Silver Hill. It's everywhere.
Yes, it is. And so you have to go through a land acquisition process in many cases. I mean, you don't just have a bank of land in your back pocket.
No, we don't. And we have people that are very generous to our school system. And I'm going to mention Nathan Cox, who's a developer, is one of them. Does it benefit Nathan and his company to be gracious sometimes and maybe donating land to our school system? Yes, but he supports education. And he has been a big benefactor to our school system and donated land. But yes, we have to look for land to acquire, and it comes at a high price.
Oh, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. I recently saw where it was a signing time for students to get athletic scholarships. That's a very exciting time of year. And you don't have figures yet, though. We'll get those at the end of the year.
No, I don't. And I might get Marty McRae, our assistant superintendent who handles our athletics throughout the county, to maybe come and talk to you about where we are with our scholarships.
That sounds good. I also try to check the Facebook page every now and then, because there's always something going on at each school, whether it be a butterfly garden or, you know, a mathematical race with each other. There's always something happening in the school system.
Yes.
And just this morning, I saw where the Robertsdale High School Navy Junior ROTC Color Guard actually presented the flags at the NASCAR race.
Yeah, they've done that 2 years in a row.
Really?
I know two, maybe three. And they've been to Talladega. And they also, Robertsdale Junior ROTC, placed fifth in the country in the most recent competitions in shooting and other areas that they compete in. So that's very exciting.
Very impressive indeed. Yeah. I also see on your Facebook page, which I recommend people like if they don't already, today, what, the last day to apply for the pre-K program application?
I think pre-K applications have been going on. And
January 16th through February 20th.
We have to eventually shut that down so we know how many children we're serving and if we need to expand that service. You know, so that's going on. Another deadline is by March the 1st. Those students who have elected to go to Baldwin Prep Academy, if they choose to pull out, they have to do it by March 1st. After March 1st, they're locked in, because our schools have to set their schedules and know who is leaving to go to the Baldwin Prep Academy.
So the Baldwin Prep Academy, does that become their full-time classroom, or will they do some at their regular school? And
no, that is their full-time. That's, you know, right now our trade schools are half-day, either morning or afternoon, and you're traveling a lot of time and losing a lot of instructional time. So the Baldwin Prep, that is your school. That's where you go at whatever time, 7:38 in the morning. Your day might end at 1:30, 2 o'clock, depending on what cluster you're in as far as work development. And then you can go to your base school, whether it's Fairhope or Robertsdale, and marching the band, play athletics, be in the clubs, things of that nature. So you can still participate in activities back at your base school.
Okay. So what about the basics, the reading, writing, or arithmetic?
That will be taught at the Baldwin Prep Academy,
okay,
the four core. But, Lori, it's been developed through waivers with the State Department and based on industry. You know, it's like reading Romeo and Juliet as a requirement at the Baldwin Prep Academy probably won't be a requirement in the English class, because what business out there is going to employ someone that wants to know, did you read Romeo and Juliet? I mean, it's not that it's not a classic, but that's just not what businesses are looking for.
Right. And before we run out of time, I know you have an event to attend this morning as we celebrate the grand opening of the Founders Park new track and field.
Correct. There's a dedication this morning of the track and field complex right there behind the high school at Founders Park. It's another partnership with our school system in the city of Fairhope, like we try to partner with other cities throughout the county. And, you know, I would like to tell people that 10 years ago, our school system partnering with cities financially, that wouldn't have been discussed. We wouldn't be doing that. But because we have all come together for the betterment of moving the school system forward, this happens.
And this is a track that will be available for use other than just the school system.
Correct. I think I heard it's going to be public. I'll have access to it. But it is a official track that can run high school association track meets, and that's at 9 o'clock this morning.
Yes, and that's happening, like you said, at Founders Park behind the high school. So we better let you go get to that event in 16 minutes. Thank you so much for your time. Any parting thoughts we haven't covered?
No, just thank you, Lori, for supporting us. And we just ask anyone out there, like you said, look at our web pages for Baldwin County and see what we're doing, and just continue to support what we're doing for our children.
I have one last quick question. As I was having my coffee and perusing Facebook this morning, I saw a mother post frustration that her child was having in a classroom with a specific teacher. Mm-hmm. She said, "What do I do?" And people had suggested different things, I'd suggested a good old-fashioned parent-teacher conference.
That's where you start.
Do those
and
still
thank
exist?
You for asking. I'm glad the parent is asking where do I go. Ask for a conference with your teacher. The administrator can sit in there with the teacher, and or can just be the teacher. If the parent's not satisfied at that level, then they can talk to the principal. And it just moves from there until hopefully we can help solve that issue that the parent is having.
So follow the chain of command.
Follow the chain, yes.
Start with the teacher.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
If you missed part of this interview and you'd like to tell a friend, you can listen to it later. It will be posted at WABF1480.com. It is now 8:46 and 46 degrees. WABF, good morning.
So how much you'll never know. You've got a way of loving me lonely. Untouchable memories seem to keep haunting me. Are the lies so true that once dead